Father, I thank you, Lord, because every time, Lord, we stand the message of the Lord, we are assured that the entrance of your word gives, it brings light and it gives understanding to the simple. So we thank you, Lord, for that this morning. So let it be. In Jesus' name, amen. Being a conqueror, means that, you are fighting and you are winning. It's not just that you are fighting, but you are also actually winning. So, to be more than a conqueror, one aspect that I want to bring out today is that, there will be, many battles. You finish one, you're not going to sit down and relax, and there will be more. You finish the next one, and so forth. It's like this thing the Lord taught me one time, the parable of the kingdom. the Lord speaks to me in parables, So this parable he gave me, it's like, a person that is climbing, a series of stairs, and after a few steps, there is some kind of a landing, and then a few more steps, and then there's a landing, and then a few more steps, and then there's a landing, and so forth. And after you finish climbing the first flight of stairs, there's something there that you pick up. You pick it up, and then you continue. And then you pick this thing up, it's like a jewel or a prize or something. And then you keep going. And then at some point, you think you've climbed enough and you think you're there. But you look up and you find that there's still more flights of stairs to climb. And along the way, as you are gathering these jewels that you are picking up, if you drop anything, you got to go back and get it. You cannot drop anything. You keep adding to your pile, but you cannot drop anything. So, and then you keep on going, and it's like, it's almost like a never-ending journey, really. When you look up again, you can't really see the top of those stairs. You don't know what's there. All you see is you just see so many flights of stairs, and then the more you go, there seems to be more. It's kind of like a horizon. When you're out in a vast ocean or something, you see the horizon. It's like, it's just, some ways ahead where the sky seems to meet the ocean line or the ground. And you go enough, or even if you're in the desert, same thing. If you're in a flat land, you can see it. You go towards it. And you think you're getting there, but it looks like it's a moving target. There's always more distance ahead. And that's the same thing with this journey that we are on. It's not over yet until it's over. And we may have won a battle yesterday, but there may be another battle, that you're going in today. It's always one battle or the other. But you got to keep winning everything. You got to climb every mountain. You climb the first one, then there might be more to climb. But you also find out that for you to climb the second one, you got to come down from the first and then climb the next and so on. So there's ups and downs, throughout this life. And there are many things, that we must face. The scripture admonishes us that, it's not a smooth journey. It's always a lot of trouble along the way. Acts chapter 14 and verse 22 would tell you that. It says that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Well, those tribulations, we must also overcome them. We cannot succumb or be subdued by any tribulation or any testing, we must overcome. From the beginning, the Lord blessed Adam, the man, and his wife, and he said, be fruitful and multiply and subdue the earth and have dominion over all these things. You know, so the man is supposed to subdue, not to be subdued himself. Supposed to have dominion, not to be dominated by anything else. So no matter what is happening, we are indeed supposed to come out on top. Now, that's easier said than done many times, especially because of this flesh that we're in. Well, that's why we got to crucify the flesh and put the flesh on the altar. We cannot fight this battle or these battles in the flesh. We got to engage in the spirit. It is the spirit that quickeneth, Jesus said in John 6:63. The flesh profits nothing. Flesh can't get anything done other than get us in trouble. But the spirit of the Lord is the one that quickens us. So many scriptures that we had looked at, some of them I might just read quickly over today, and actually even go read a few more. I might add a few more scriptures here and there, you know, but the idea is for us to see ourselves as conquerors and even more than that. Don't see yourself as, someone that's just passing through, or don't even let the devil, push you up and down. You know, we have the victory through Christ. Jesus said, I beheld Satan fall like lightning. Luke 10:18-19. He said, look, I beheld Satan fall like lightning from heaven. And then he said, I give you power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. You can tread on serpents and scorpions. You can do this and that, you know, but nothing shall by any means hurt you. So he already gave us the power. But sometimes it doesn't look like we have the power. Well, you've got to encourage yourself in the knowledge that you already have the power. And you already have the victory. You know, and unfortunately, you know, when we're in the spiritual realm, only a few people actually, not everybody has learned fully how to tap into the spiritual strength and power that we need. In the dark world, that's what they seek after. Power over elements, even witchcraft, power over people, you know. And that's not what God wants for us as the children of God. But we have to understand how to draw power from the Lord over our situations. There are many promises in the Bible. There are testimonies that people gave in the Bible. You know, some people made their declarations of faith and said, well, you know, the devil cannot push me around. I'm going to be more than a conqueror. That's what Paul said. Isaiah said the same thing pretty much. He said, well, the Lord's going to help me. I'm going to set my face like a flint. And several other people gave their testimonies of how they overcame and that they would overcome no matter what confronts them, ready to keep on going on. Let's read a few of these scriptures just to encourage ourselves again today. You know, there is a phrase that I've used before called battle-tested believers, or they are overcomers. You know, they've been through a few fights, but overcame. And Jesus never promised us that there wouldn't be any fights or there wouldn't be any problems. Everything is just going to be smooth ride. In fact, he said the opposite. He said, in the world, ye shall have tribulation. That's what he said. But he said, be of good cheer. You know, you're going to have the victory because I already overcame and got the victory for you. So in John 16, in verse 33, we see the pronunciation of Jesus, what he said. And if we look at that verse carefully, then we know that we should expect, well, what Jesus calls tribulation. You know, whatever that might mean, you know, it's coming. You know, he says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. You know, so the way that we get peace is in the Lord. Can't have peace outside the Lord. He said, as long as you are in the world, you shall have tribulation. You know, that's a shall. It's going to happen. But be of good cheer, because I've overcome the world. You know, through the Lord Jesus Christ has taken the sting, you know, out of the victory that the world would have had over us. That's right. The world means those systems of this world. The systems of this world are designed to weaken our faith, you know, put burdens upon us, weaken us to the point where we just give up. But Jesus said, I have overcome the world for you. There's something also, there's some tools that we need to put in our toolbox for getting that victory and becoming an overcomer. You know, 1 John, you know, chapter 5 and verse 4 talks about, you know, what is it that overcomes the world? Now, Jesus, in his own case, he said, I overcome the world. And he told us that we shall have tribulations. Be of good cheer, I overcome the world. Well, it's more like, you know, I've actually overcome the world for you on your behalf or as an example, and you can do the same. But whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. This was 1 John 5, 4 says. Jesus was born of God, so he overcame the world. If we are born of God, also, you know, we got to overcome the world. He that is born of flesh is flesh, and he that is born of spirit is spirit. And Jesus said, you must be born again. So if we were born again into the family of God by the Spirit of God, you know, then we must overcome according to the scripture. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So we see that this is one of the tools of overcoming and being a conqueror. You got to have that faith, you know. And he goes on again to ask a question. And who is he that overcometh the world, or who is a conqueror through Christ? Well, he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. You know, so God has given us several tools. He gave us a few other tools here in Revelation 12 and 11. And John was participating in this vision, and he saw this thing. He saw the victory of all those that got the victory over the devil. He saw their testimony. And he said, well, how did they do it? Well, here's how he said they did it. They overcame him, Revelation 12, 11, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. So let's look at some of these tools that we can add to our tool set or our toolbox for being an overcomer and more than a conqueror. We've already looked at faith. Now we're looking at the blood of the Lamb here and the word of our testimony. Now the blood of Jesus is a powerful, powerful tool to have with you and to use. Because right here it says you overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb. The Holy Spirit will have to reveal it to you, the various ways that you can use that blood. Of course, we know that, you know, the blood primarily, you know, was shed for a reason. You know, there's a reason why the blood of Christ was shed. According to Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 22, it said, almost all things are by the law purged with blood. So there is a, you know, there was a reason that they did the sprinkling back in the Old Testament, was a shadow of things to come, the sprinkling of the blood, a sprinkle. You know, if you read from verse 21, he said, you know, in fact, let me read it from, you know, verse 19 of Hebrews 9. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop, and he sprinkled both the book and even all the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Now, whereas he sprinkled, you know, with the blood, he said, moreover, he sprinkled with the blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. So we can see demonstrating and the use of the blood, sprinkle the blood, sprinkle the blood. People say today, I sprinkle the blood of Jesus, cover you with the blood of Jesus, say this and that, you know. So this is where all these things came from. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood, there is no remission of our sins. So we see all the things that the blood represents. Well, we also know that the blood of goats and bulls couldn't really get the job done. So God had to send, you know, his own son, you know, shed his own blood. Hallelujah. Let's read it. Hebrews 9 and 11. For Christ being come an high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean can sanctify to the purifying of the flesh, that's how they did it, commandment they gave them in those days. Well, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? So we see the role, you know, of the blood to purge our conscience. Hallelujah. And we see this story in Exodus. You know, when the angel of destruction, one of the last, you know, actually the last plague that the Lord was going to do in that place. So finally, you know, I'm going to destroy all the firstborn of Egypt. The angel of destruction will pass through that night, the entire land. But the Lord gave instruction, a lamb for an house. You kill the lamb and put the door on the doorpost, put the blood. And when I see the blood, the angel of destruction will pass over. And I know within my heart that that instruction was for the Jews, the children of Israel. However, if any Egyptians had entered into any one of those houses that had the blood over it, even though they were a firstborn, they still would have been saved. You know, it was going to kill all the firstborn in the land. But he already gave instruction that if he sees the blood on the doorpost, the angel of destruction will move on. So anybody that would have been under, I mean, behind any of the doors that had the blood on it, Egyptian or not, would have been saved that night. So we see the power that was, you know, shown here, how the blood of just a lamb or a heifer at the time could bring protection. So we see that through the scriptures. And then there is the word of your testimony, which we have spoken about in this room multiple times. You know, that's another thing in your toolbox for being a conqueror. You know, you testify. You don't even need to wait until you get a victory to testify, because your testimony is supposed to help you get the victory. victory. He said they overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. So you actually use the word of your testimony ahead of getting the victory, than that to be a conqueror. And then there is the loving not their lives unto death. You know, it's how they conquer. You know, the reason, here's how, you know, death is a captivity, you know, to many people, or even, you know, their fear of it. According to Hebrews, you know, chapter 2, we are told certain things here that we need to learn and understand. In verse 14, it says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood," this is Hebrews 2 and 14, "Christ also himself likewise took part of the same. He put on flesh and blood, that through death," you know, Christ was preordained to die, because the Lamb was slain before the world began. You know, God in spirit form cannot die, because God is spirit. You know, so, you know, it was in God's mind that he would represent, he would be the symbol of our redemption, even from the beginning. And he would have to take on flesh and blood. He can't die as spirit. And so he took on this flesh and blood that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death. That is the devil. Now, did Christ actually do it? That's the big question. And during that process of destroying the devil, he would also deliver them who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. You know, so the fear of death. But once you overcome that fear of death, that's another powerful tool of how you conquer. We see the story in Daniel chapter 3 of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego faced with the penalty of death. But they didn't have the fear of death. That's how they overcame. They were more than conquerors. They conquered the fear of death. They conquered the threat of death. They conquered the threat of being thrown into a fiery furnace, heated up 7 times. They did all of that. It wasn't by the blood, but it was because they did not have the fear of death. In fact, they said to the king that, look, this is not something that we are going to be careful to answer, you know. Oh, king, they told him, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. Daniel 3 and 16. If it be so, in other words, if you want to go ahead and cast us in, that's fine. Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. You see, they were bold. They didn't care. You know, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, in other words, well, if for whatever reason, God doesn't deliver us, we know he is able and we know he will. But let's assume even if he doesn't, we're not afraid. See, so they were not afraid. They loved not their lives unto the death. They were willing to go through. If they have to die for it, so be it. Say, if it be so, then so let it be. If we have to die for our faith, we have to die for our faith. We're not going to give in. That's another powerful tool in the hand of conquerors. You know, so you got the faith. You got the blood, you got your word of your testimony, which you should actually give ahead of time. And then you've got here, you know, the fact that you're not afraid of death. Devil can't hold that over you. When people are afraid of death, devil use that, you know, to hijack their lives. And you can't, you know, the Lord already took care of that. Finish that so that he might deliver us from that. You put all these tools together. You begin to see how you can become a conqueror. And Paul began to speak about the things, you know, that he went through. You know, he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, that we went through many things, but each time through each one of those things and experiences, We overcame. We are troubled on every side, he said. Yet we're not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. I mean, you know, it's like, not, I'm not staying down for the count. That's how you become, you know, more than a conqueror. You know, these testimonies that Paul gave here, I mean, he talked about so many things. You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, you see what, you know, he said about the things. He said, now, thanks be unto God, who always causes us to triumph in Christ, and make it manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. And this was a testimony that this man Paul has, and it always causes us to triumph. Like I said, I'm bringing, you know, more scriptures today than even the last time. Causes us to triumph. Always. I mean, you're always a winner. You're not just going into the fight just for fighting's sake. You are actually going in as a winner. Because Jesus said, I already overcame. So you might say the fight is rigged in your favor. You're going to come out a winner already. You know, so, and then, well, Paul says, well, thanks be unto God, who always causes us to be more than a conqueror. Triumph over everything. You know, praise the Lord. You know, cause always make us manifest the savor of his knowledge in us by every, you know, in every place. So, not just in one thing, but he said always. And that's always. Always means always. Now, the way that Paul did it, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verses 26 and 27. Let's see how he did it. And Paul wasn't, you know, someone, you know, that just, you know, didn't know how to fight and was just, you know, beating around the air and so forth. No. He was laser focused. He said, look, I don't do shadow boxing. You know, I'm focused. I zero in, you know, on the enemy and so forth. He said, look, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. I'm not shadow boxing. No, I am zero. I mean, focused on the target. He knows the rules of engagement. And he said, look, part of that is I keep my body under. This is another way that we overcome and become more than conquerors. This body, you know, it's prone to getting us into trouble. So Paul said, look, I keep it under, keep it in subjection, lest by any means I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. You know, so that's another thing that he's focused on. Bring this body into subjection. How do you keep it under? You know, the psalmist said, I humbled my soul with fasting. You know, put the body under, put the flesh on fire, put it on the altar. Don't fuel the flesh. There are many things that fuel the flesh. You know, the gateways to the flesh, the eyes, for instance. You know, you will look upon vain things and so on. You know, why? He said, look, I've made a covenant, you know, with my eyes. You know, why should I look upon a maid? This was a young man, you know, said that, look, I'm not going to let my eyes, you know, remember Jesus said, your eyes are the gateway. He said, look, if your eye is single, then the whole body will have light, you know, but if your eye has darkness, then great is the darkness of the whole body. You know, and so we take a close look at, you know, what Job said in Job 31 and verse 31, verse 1. I have made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I look lustfully upon a young woman, you know, or look upon a maid? Well, you can turn that around, whether it's the man that's lusting or the woman that's lusting or anything at all that we are lusting after. It could be lusting after strange flesh. You'd be lusting after things that don't belong to us, which will be covetousness. Be lusting after anything. The eyes, you know, can be a gateway to lust. Even the ears. You hear something that's not right, and the devil, you play that in your mind over and over again. So, you know, knowing how to tune the gateways to our spirit. Some of these natural senses are actually gateways to the spirit. And then if you take care of it, block out the things, that's how you put the body under. Block out the things that can be a stumbling block for you. Jesus actually said, if your eye offend you, then pluck it out. I mean, because it can cause your whole body to sin. You know, so that's how you put your body under. The things that can create problems for us, we deal with them in the natural senses. Put our body under. But going on to some of the other testimonies of other people in the Bible, some of them we read the other day when we did this first lesson, you know, but let's read this one from Paul again in Romans chapter 8. Powerful, powerful. This is actually the place where it talks about being more than a conqueror. You know, but I love the way that Paul always used to say these things, you know, but it was his testimony. Is it your testimony? He said, well, what shall we say then to these things? Well, what things? Well, just before that, he was talking about all things working together for our good. He said, we know. Well, do you know? That's Paul's testimony. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So, and I've explained this scripture before by saying, I'll say it again. It's not each individual thing that necessarily is good. Bad things may happen, but when taken together, that's what he said. When taken together, all the things will work together for your good. You know, especially the bad things. The good things are already good, but evil and bad things, when all taken together, along with good things too, eventually work out. When you say, well, you know, I went through, you know, some rough times. How could that possibly work out for my good? I don't know how one thing can work out for your good by itself. This scripture is not talking of one thing. He said all things. You take it all together. You know, take the good, the bad, and the ugly together, especially the not so good things, because the good things are already good. They don't need to work together for good. They're already good. But the ones that are not good, taken together, eventually, along with the good, will eventually occur. And this is Paul's testimony. And Paul is saying that, look, before, you know, we were even born, you know, God knew about us. He predestinated us to be conformed to the image of the Christ. And he said, look, what else are we going to say? I mean, all the things that we're going through, no matter what, who can be against us if God be for us, he said. He that spared not his own son, now reading Romans 8 and 31, you know, now verse 32, that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us. How shall he not also with him freely give us all things? Now, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who even is at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercessions for us. Now, who or what shall separate us from the love of Christ? Look at all the things he needs. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword or the loss of your job or the loss of a loved one or this and that, you know, whatever that we face, say none of these things shall be able to separate us from the love of God. Nay, verse 37, in all these things, this is where the text comes from, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Not just conquer, but more than conqueror. You know, it's not that we go into the battle wounded and everything and we, you know, we are left half dead. Well, you're not more than a conqueror if that's the case. You come out as a gladiator. You win that fight. Hallelujah. Yeah, there might be a few scratches here and there, but you win anyway and you are still on your feet. You're not ready for the next one. Hallelujah. You're more than a conqueror. You know, so you keep bouncing back. A devil may take a shot at you. And look, you know, look at the way that Micah gave that testimony of how he was a conqueror. He said, look, I'm never going to stay down for the count. Micah chapter 7 and verse 8. He said, you know, it's like I'm in darkness, the Lord be a light to me. When I fall, I shall arise. You know, I mean, he just gave his own testimony. It was, you might call it his own declaration of faith. That's how he was more than a conqueror. You know, I'm not going to let any of these things, you know, move me. You know, Paul said, well, none of these things move me. And you can say it was pointed blank. You know, he said it point blankly. He said, rejoice not against me, O my enemy. Micah 7 and 8. When I fall, I shall arise. Now, in the battle, you may get knocked down. You know, but you have a choice. You can stay down and lick your wounds. Or you can get up and re-engage. And a devil knock you down, well, you get up and give him a black eye too. You know, I mean, look, that's what the fight is all about. You know, and you know, those gladiator fights that they used to do in Rome and so forth. It was fight to the finish. Whether you're fighting in another gladiator or you're fighting an animal or this and that. You know, it's a one person, last man standing. That's it. You know, they have to fight until the finish, until the death, until one person is vanquished. And then one is a winner. Well, Jesus already paid the price, did all of that for us. You know, and even there is the sin nature that Jesus took. Look, all the handwriting of ordinances were told that was against us. I mean, all kinds of things. And he nailed them to the cross. I mean, here's what we're told in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 14. Jesus blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us. Took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. And listen to verse 15. And he spoiled. I mean, that means disarmed. That's what it means. He spoiled or disarmed principalities and powers. And he did not do it in a corner. He made a show of them openly in the spirit realm and triumphed over them while doing it too. You know, he was more than a conqueror. Came out on top. He spoiled them. Spoiled principalities. You know, and Jesus said, look, when a strong man that is armed, you know, when he keeps his goods, and, you know, at that time, because he's a strong man, number one, you know, and then number two, he's keeping his goods. I mean, it could be the goods that he captured, either by deceit or forcefully or any other way. You know, I mean, when he's sitting pretty and he thinks everything is safe. But if you read the story that Jesus told, or the lesson in Luke 11, he said, when a strong man that is armed, he keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. And so, at least so he thinks. This is Luke chapter 11, verse 21. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him, this is what Jesus did to the principalities. The principalities had us hemmed in, you know, and so forth. But Jesus came in. He said, when a stronger come upon him and overcome him, conquered him, you know, spoiled him, he said, take away from him all his armor in which he trusted. That's spoiling him. You spoil. Jesus spoiled the spoilers. Hallelujah. You know, so, and he said, divide his spoils. You know, he himself was a spoiler to start with, but now stronger than he comes in and spoiled him. And took away his armor in which he trusted. Disarmed him completely. You know, that's right. And Jesus said, that's how you do it. And that's how Jesus did it. And so, that's how we must also do it. You can't go in, you know, from a position of weakness against the devil. No, we go in of a position of strength. The only time we go in from a position of weakness is when we go before the Lord. When you go before the Lord, you go in from a position, you know, of weakness, so that the Lord may make his strength perfect in your weakness. But when you go against the devil, you go in from a position of strength. But the Lord has already done these things for us. You know, I mean, 1 John chapter 2, John wrote about it repeatedly. You know, he was even writing to, you know, the youth of his age and so forth. He said, look, I write these things unto you because you are strong, you know, and you have overcome the devil. You know, so, I mean, he's encouraging them and he's speaking to them as if they already got the victory, because prophetically, you know, you already did it. And that, you know, that's how you do it. You know, so we've got to have that confidence, that level of confidence is what we must have. We've got to have a level of confidence that we know that Christ got the victory for us. And we also have the victory in Christ. You know, so putting together all the testimonies of all these people, we see that today when we are faced with difficult trials, we can tell ourselves that Jesus already overcame for us, and that we know him. We have his strength. We have his power. When you go into the battle against the devil, as you go from that position of strength, it's like God told Jehoshaphat, in this battle, you will win. You don't even have to do anything. So he's going in from a position of strength. That's why he could praise the Lord. God already gave him assurance. So he didn't need to wait until he actually got the victory. He was using, you know, it's praising the Lord, which is another powerful tool that you must have in your toolbox. We see that story in 2 Chronicles 20. As soon as Jehoshaphat was told by the prophet, you know, that the victory is going to be yours, tomorrow he gave him strategy. This is how you do it. You go here, but don't worry about it. God's going to, you know, give you the victory. As soon as Jehoshaphat heard that, we're told that he bowed down and worshipped. And he commanded all the other people to worship as well. And then he searched among the people who are the best, the most skilled in knowing how to praise the Lord and the instruments of praise. And he gathered them and put them in front of the army. Because now he already has the assurance that he's coming out as, you know, winning. So he's going to enact his faith even before the real results of the fight. And he's going to praise the Lord even ahead of the battle. Put the singers ahead. Oh, praise the Lord. That's another tool in our toolbox to be a conqueror. You already heard the word. The word said, behold, I give you power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. That's what Jesus said, Luke 10 and 19. But sometimes it looks like things are actually hurting us. You know, when the Lord said, I am the Lord that heals you. Well, and 1 Peter 2:24 says we are already healed by stripes. It looks like we should already be healed. It looks like we should not already have any more sickness. But then again, we get sick. What does that mean? Well, it means that the Lord will heal, because that's what he said. You know, so when the Lord said we got the victory and the enemy comes in and contends that, well, you stand your ground and enforce the victory. That's how you become more than a conqueror. And on and on and on and on. I mean, David, he had many testimonies, many things to talk about, you know, how he encouraged himself to be a more than a conqueror. In Psalm 42, verses 3 to 5 and verse 11, talked about his soul being, he was just distressed. And people talked of stoning him in the story in Ziklag, 1 Samuel chapter 30. The first 6 verses, they talked of stoning him, but we're told in verse 6 of 1 Samuel 30 that he encouraged himself in the Lord. Well, how did he do it? Well, we can see some of it in Psalm 42. My soul, why art thou disquieted within me? You know, why art thou cast down? He said, look, you know, let's not do that cast down stuff. I'm going to encourage myself in the Lord, and I will yet praise the Lord. The help of his countenance. I'm going to praise the Lord even before that help comes. I'm going to praise him. I'm going to praise him. I'm going to praise him. And it's coming. And I praise him. I praise him for his help. It's coming. Praise the Lord. I mean, that's how you become an overcomer. That's how you, you know, you're a conqueror. How did Habakkuk do it? Well, he lost everything. In Habakkuk 3 and 17, he said, look, I mean, it's like bankruptcy, economy or whatever. Everything is dry. There's nothing happening. Things are cut off. You know, he lost all his stocks and everything. I mean, back in the day, maybe it was cattle, this and that. If you equate it to today, it's probably loss of everything. He said, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall there be fruit on the vines. A labor of the olive shall fail, the fields yield no meat. I mean, everything is just gone. Flock cut off from the fold. No herds on the stalls. I mean, all these things gone. Lost everything. But how do you become a conqueror? Well, you know, you encourage yourself in the Lord. Yet will I rejoice in the Lord. And I will joy in the God of my salvation. And he spoke to himself, said, the Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like hinds feet. You know, I'm going to overtake. You know, and I'll be in recovery, and I'll get everything back. It's going to make me to walk upon my high places. And this is how people encourage themselves throughout the scriptures, how they become overcomers, and so on. You know, the psalmist said in Psalm 27, the first 3 verses, these ones, some of these we gave the other day, he talked about, you know, things that may come against me, you know, doesn't matter. As long as the Lord is on my side, he said, it doesn't matter who may come against me. I'm a winner all the time. I'm coming out victorious. You know, said, look, when the Lord, who is my God and my light, is for me, of whom shall I be afraid? What shall I fear? I'm not going to fear anything. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm not afraid. I'm a winner. And he said, look, no matter what comes out against me, I am going to win. You know, they can gather together and come out against me one way. They're going to go out 7 different ways. I mean, this is what people testify, these things. Even the wicked, even my enemies, when they come up against me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. So it's his testimony. This is how he held his head up. And this can be our testimony too. This is how you can hold your head up. Your wicked, the wicked folks, your enemies, and whoever. The demonic, satanic altars, they come up against you, try to take your joy, try to take your family, take your marriage, take your children. No! You know, you can say they're going to stumble and fall. You got to stand there and fight for what you have. Don't let the enemy take what you got. I mean, one time, a lion came and took something that David got. A bear even came and took something he got. You know, he wasn't just going to fold his arms or put his hands on his head and lament and wail. No. You took what I got. You take what's mine. No way. I'm coming after you and I'm getting what is mine. That's how you're more than a conqueror. You know, the devil will come in sometimes, you know, especially when you're not paying attention, and sneak in there and give you a cheap shot or take something that you got. You got to go after him and get what's yours. You know, don't just let the devil have a field day. No. David went after the lion. Now, can you imagine a young man, a young teenager, you know, maybe 15, 16, 17 or whatever he was, going after a lion? You know, all he had was this little shepherd's knife, you know. He just had it in a pouch, you know, around his waist. You know, I saw that one time. I was thinking about it. And the Lord was showing it to me. And, you know, he went after this lion. A lion. So you took what's mine, not on my watch. And he's going to get into a fist fight with a lion. How are you in the world going to get the prey from the mouth of the lion? You can't do it. But David did it. You know, David did it because he was like, you cannot take what's mine. You know, I'm in charge of this flock and not on my watch. You're not going to do it. And he got the victory. You know, he might have come out with a few scars and say, what happened? Where'd you get those scars? Well, you should have seen the other guy. Because he put that knife, he put that just like that thing. He put it under the jaw, you know, of the lion. Got him, got that thing out of his jaw. That's right. And when a bear stood up against him as well, and when that thing rose up and pounded his chest and so forth, he already beat down the little lamb. The thing was unconscious. And David come out of him, you know, you're not taking that. Bear stood up against him, pounded his chest like this. I mean, the thing, my goodness, was like 9 feet tall when he stand up like that. You know, when David went up against Goliath, he was thinking of that bear when he stood up against him. He said, well, I've seen that before. You know, when that bear stood up against him, he was just as big as this man. I got the victory over that one, and I'll get the victory over this one as well. Hallelujah. That's how you're more than a conqueror. You know, you also dive into, you know, memories of victories in the past and use that to strengthen yourself for the present conflict. That's how you are more than a conqueror. You know, David got the victory over the lion and the bear. And so he's going to use that to strengthen himself against the battle. I mean, in the battle against Goliath. And so that's how you do it. You remember the good hand of the Lord that gave you the victory in the past. Use that to strengthen yourself for the present conflict. That's how you become more than a conqueror. And no matter what the enemy pulls at you, you win. Psalm 144. Look at another testimony. David, this is one more verse I didn't give last time. Look at the testimony that, you know, David, you know, gives here. He said, look, the Lord is my strength. You know, and he said, look, he teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. Hallelujah. This man was a man of war. I mean, and he always knew the right buttons to push, how to encourage himself. He would always tell himself things like, the Lord is my high tower. The Lord is my deliverer. The Lord is my shield. The Lord is my fortress. The Lord is my hiding place. He's my rock. I mean, he's my salvation. I mean, he just went on and on and on and on. And he became more than a conqueror because he understood all the attributes of God as a man of war. You know, and when he called upon those attributes, God showed up big time. you know, and if you learn how to do it like David did, the Lord will also show up for you big time. David was a man that said, look, when the sorrows of hell compass me about, I mean, he had a lot of things. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord, Psalm 18, and I cried unto my God, you know, and I said, look, the Lord heard me. My cry came in before him and entered into his ears. And look at God's response. And this is how David became a conqueror, and even more than a conqueror. He knew how to trust the Lord for the victories. And the Lord responded in kind. The earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken because God was wroth. You know, not against David, but against the things that troubled David. The Lord said, I'll contend with him that contendeth with you. You know, and there went out a smoke out of his nostrils, fire out of his mouth devoured, coals were kindled. This kind of response, you know, came from the Lord on behalf of David because one, David knew how to praise the Lord. And two, he knew how to call out the attributes of the man of war from God. And, you know, three, he depended absolutely on the Lord. And the Lord responded in kind. And when the Lord, he said, the Lord bowed the heavens and came down. And I often say, can your prayers do this? Can my prayers do this? Can I pray with a voice? God asked Job, can thou lift up your voice to heaven? Can you call and command the rains, the clouds to dump rain upon you? I mean, can you lift up your voice on high and cause the Almighty to do something? Can you do it? Well, David did it. He knew how to do it too. You know, and so we got to learn how to become a conqueror. See how these people did it. You know, see how David, he told God, he said, look, thy right hand and thy holy arm. I mean, David was visualizing God flexing his arms. Thy right hand, flex your arms. You saw God flexing his hand. Told God, you flexed your arms, your holy hand, your right hand, got you the victory. And when you tell God those things like that, he'll stand up and he'll fight for you. That's how you become a conqueror. These people knew how to do it. Hezekiah, he knew how to do it too. He knew how to make it God's fight. That's how you become a conqueror. You tell God, look, he said, look, see the words and hear the words of this Sennacherib, which he has sent to reproach the living God. Now, for true, they cast all those, you know, gods of those nations into fire and so forth, because they were no gods. They are the work of men's hands. They are wood and stone and so forth. They are no gods at all. That's why they cast them to the fire, and they can brag about that. That's all right. But thou, at the God, the very God that dwelleth within, you know, in the midst of the cherubims. And when you tell God stuff like that, and you say, now, Lord, save us from his hand. And then you begin to tell the Lord why the Lord should do it. You put his reputation at stake. You know, it's a review of some of the things I've taught in this room. You tell the Lord, save us from his hand. Not just that our nation be not destroyed, our land not become desolate, not that our children become, you know, fatherless, you know, not that our wives be not become widows and so on, but that, you know, all the people may know your name. When you put it like that, instead of just focusing on your own personal reasons why God should deliver you, that's how you become a conqueror. That's how you become a winner. When you put it and make it about his name, the reputation of his name, that your name, that people may know your name. That's right. And when you say it like that, God's going to stand up for sure. And God stood up because he challenged God to defend his name. And God stood up, and in one night, 185,000 of the enemies were slain just by one angel alone. Ha! Glory to God. Yeah, that's how God will do it. When you know how to push the right buttons in praising the Lord and making it about God's fight, you know, no matter what you're going through, even when situation looks so bleak, this was Job's testimony. He said this in Job chapter 14, verses 7-9. He said, look, when a tree is dead, he's looking at in a vision, he's looking at it possibly. He said, look, I can see this dead tree, you know, and has nothing going for it. And then, you know, sometimes we feel like that. You know, Jesus said, well, some people say, well, I'm a dry tree. I have nothing going for me in my life and so on. Well, you know, sometimes you may feel like that. You may feel like nothing is going, everything is dry and died and decaying. But here is Job's testimony of how he got the victory and how he conquered everything. He said, look, I know that even if a tree gets cut down, that it will sprout again. The tender branch thereof will not cease. And though the root wax old in the earth and the stalk thereof die in the ground, you know, looking at the tree, he said, look, there's nothing going for this tree, but yet through the scent of water, it will bud again and bring forth boughs like a plant. That's how he knew it. And so there may be situations in our life like this dead tree, or this decaying tree and so forth. Well, the scent of water through a message like this can bring restoration and recovery. Hallelujah. You know, that's it. This is how these people do it and did it. Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, you know, verses 12 to 13, that this is how he overcame and became a conqueror. And, he said, look, it doesn't matter whether I'm up or down. You know, I've learned in all these things, you know, sometimes I'm full, sometimes I'm empty, sometimes I'm this and that. You know, I know how to do all these things. In fact, he said, look, you know, I know both how to be abased, that's Philippians 4 and 12. I know how to abound. I know how to be in plenty. I know how to be in want. You know, and in everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both how to be full and how to be hungry. I know all these things. I know how to abound and to suffer need. This is his testimony. I can do all things. This is how he was a conqueror. He said it with his mouth, you know, and he's not going to back down, high or low, up and down. He said none of these things, neither height nor depth nor life nor things present nor things to come, angels, principalities, powers, everything. He said none of these things can move me. None of it can separate me from the love of Christ. And he knew it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Can you make that your testimony of how to be a conqueror and more than a conqueror? This is how he said it. In the realm, in this human realm that I'm in, I've got to fight through some things. And I know that I come out a winner because Christ is strengthening me. This was his testimony. And he did it too. Praise the Lord. You know, I mean, David also knew, he said in Psalm 30 and verse 5, he said, look, I know that no night can last forever. There may be sorrow that endured in the night. And this is the posture, you know, of a conqueror and a winner. You know, they always see the victory at the end of the road. He said, look, sorrow may endure in the night, but I know that the day is going to break and joy is coming in the morning. No night can last forever is basically what he's saying. And then, you know, the day is going to break and there's victory right around the corner. And they encourage themselves with these things. You know, God said in Isaiah 43 and verse 2, he said, look, there will be situations in your life that you are going to pass through many things. Sometimes it will be like you are in the midst of a flood, about to be carried away. Sometimes it will be as if you are in the midst of fire, about to be devoured and burned. But the Lord gave a promise. And said, look, when, not if, you know, so it's definitely going to happen. And he said, look, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And you are passing through. God didn't say when you enter into the waters. Or if you enter, that's a dead end, possibly. But when you pass through the waters. And so, you know, by definition, you're already coming out on the other side. Because you're passing through and you're already a winner. Hallelujah. Even going in into the water, you know, you are not just going in. You know, you are passing through. Hallelujah. And then you say, look, it will not overflow you when you walk through the fire. Well, again, that means you're coming out on the other side. You will not even be burned. You know, and this is, you know, you take these promises of God. You wrap yourself around this, you know, I mean, with these promises, you encourage yourself with this word of God and you know that you got the victory. Praise God. You know, Isaiah you know, I love him too because, like I said the other day, it's my go-to place where I go, you know, when I'm looking for some lifter up, some boosting, some whatever, I go to the book of Isaiah. There are many, many places in the book of Isaiah where you get strength, such as this one that we're reading. You know, that's another one in Isaiah 49, you know, and verse 13. Always find scriptures in the word of God for encouraging yourself. You know, the Lord has said, look, when you are afflicted, you know, here is the victory. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains. For the Lord hath comforted his people. So it means that comfort is coming. No matter what you're going through, the Lord will have mercy on his afflicted, he said. Wow, that's right. And that's how you do it. You know for a fact that you are a winner. Well, Isaiah 40, verses 1 and 2 tells you that, look, even the rough places and all of these things, God has a plan to give you the victory. And you use these things, you know, to encourage yourself. Comfort ye, my people. That's right. Speak comfortably to her. And then he said, every mountain and every valley, mountain shall be made brought down, valley shall be exhausted, crooked shall be made straight, rough places shall be made plain, glory of the Lord shall be revealed. You gather all these things, the first four or five verses of Isaiah 40, use that to encourage yourself. That's how you become a winner. Psalm 3 and verse 3. Here's another way that the psalmist said, look, the Lord is always the one that will, lift up my head for me. He said, the Lord is my shield. So for thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. You are my glory. And I lifted up my head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Well, do you know that the Lord will hear you when you cry unto him? Why, absolutely. You know, the Lord will hear you. You call upon him. You know, pray according to the will of God and call upon him. Wrap your prayers in the light, which means the word of God. You pray the word of God and he will hear you. He has no option when you are praying his word and you're repeating his word back to him. Here's another thing that Paul said. Blessed be God. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulation. Now, he already knows that no matter what's coming, the Lord is going to comfort and sustain him so that we also may receive comfort, be strength to comfort others in the trouble wherever they are comforted. You know, whatever they're going through, we can comfort them because we receive comfort from God, he said. And on and on and on. These people demonstrated the things of God. Their relationship with God. They carried on a posture. Abraham carried on this posture for 25 years. Changed his name to even prove it. I will be, the father of nations. I said, well, you can't do it. You don't have a chance. I'll do it too. And he carried on, changed his name, to prove it. My goodness, how do you do that? How do you go on for years calling yourself, father of nations when you don't even have a child? Well, because he was more than a conqueror. You know, he knew he was going to overcome. He knew the word of the Lord. And the Lord said, look, I'm going to multiply your seed. So come out here. I'm going to show you something. The Lord took him out there and said, look up in the sky. Can you count those stars that you see? He said, no. Well, look over here on the seashore. And you count the sign? He said, no. Well, okay. He said, well, that's how I'm going to make your seed be. Wow. Even when he didn't have a child, the Lord, that's how he said he would do it. So we got to strengthen ourselves in the Lord, everywhere you go. God already promised you that the devil cannot exact upon you. Psalm 89. This is how I'm wrapping this up quickly here. Psalm 89. This is how the psalmist again put it. Say the enemy, verse 22, shall not exact upon you. Talking about, it may be David, but, same thing for you. Don't let the devil exact upon you. You know that. The devil can't do it. The enemy shall not exact upon you. Neither shall the son of wickedness afflict you. I will beat down your foes before your face, and I will plague them that hate you. And my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with you. Hallelujah. You know, these are promises that God has given, and this is how people, you know, David said, this is what the Lord told me. You know, and this is how he encouraged himself. Well, Lord's telling you the same thing. Jesus said, what I say to one, I say unto all. And David knew it. At one time he said, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Psalm 34 and verse 19. But what happens? You know, well, he will be a winner. He's always a winner. He's always coming out on top because the Lord will deliver him out of them all. You know, that was his testimony. Well, let's make that our testimony. So lastly, let me ask us this. When we are faced with distress, calamities, trials, conflicts, afflictions, etc., what do you do? When you're sick, what should you do? James chapter 5 and verse 13 has a prescription. This is how you win these things. You know, when you're sad, what should you do? When you're sick, what should you do? When you're happy, what should you do? I mean, there's prescriptions in the Bible for all these things. You know, James says it one way. You know, the writer of the book of Ecclesiastes says it's a different way. Ecclesiastes 7:14 says, well, when you are on top, you should rejoice. When things are hard, then you should consider that there's a reason why God allowed you to have both the prosperity and the adversity. You should consider it. What James said in James 5 and 13, he said, look, when you are joyful, you should rejoice. I mean, you know, sing psalms and do all these things and so forth. But what happens when the tables are turned and things don't look so bright? What should you do then? Well, this is how you become an overcomer and a more than a conqueror. You got to have the right posture. You say, well, gave you a prescription here. When you're afflicted, then you pray. You know, Psalmist said, I was afflicted and I prayed and I cried unto the Lord and he heard me, you know, out of his holy heel. I mean, if you are merry, you sing psalms. If you are afflicted, you pray. If you are sick, you call for the elders of the church, you know, and so forth. These are, you know, commandments that are giving us how we get the victory. And when you think that the devil's got you shackled down, well, Isaiah says, shake yourself from the dust. Isaiah 52. Loose thyself from the bands around your neck. Isaiah 52 verse 2. I love that. That's how you become more than a conqueror. Don't let the enemy put yokes around your neck again. The Lord said in, you know, Leviticus 26 and 13, he said, look, I've already set you free from these things that the enemy will try to put upon you. You know, I'm the one that brought you out of the land of bondage. I don't want you to be bondmen, he said. I've broken the bands of their yoke over you. I made you to go upright. You know, when they put so much burden on those people, their backs are bent over. God said, look, I've broken that. Then you can go upright. Well, that's how you become a winner. You recognize that God has done that. And you go in the strength of the word of the Lord. You know, one time, you know, the Lord said to, the angel said to Elijah, you know, take some meat and go in the strength of this meat. Well, the meat is the word of God. You go in the strength of that word of God. Sammy said, I will go in, you know, in the strength of the Lord, and I will make mention of his righteousness, and I will show forth his glory to this generation, the power to everyone that's to come. I will go in the strength of the Lord God Almighty. Well, that's how you do it. You get some meal from the word of God, and you go in the strength of that word. And Elijah went in the strength of the word. Twice he got the word, the meal, so to speak, and he went 40 days. How many days can you, you know, meantime between failures? In technology, we have this meantime between something, you know. I mean, how long before this thing breaks? You set up your computer, how long before it breaks? You have to reboot that computer every day because it's breaking every day. Well, so be it. What is the meantime to failure? You know, can you go 40 days in the strength of the word that you receive from the Lord? Well, probably not. That's why we come back every day. You got to come back and put more wood on the altar. You know, don't wait 2-3 days. Just come back every day and do it daily. crank up the wood, fire, and so on every day. Praise the Lord. You know, and then when you, you know, in the midst of all of that, remember to hold your head high. Psalm 24, verses 7 through 10. So lift up your head, O ye gates. This is how you are more than a conqueror. You are not a defeated, slain, wounded, left half for dead kind of warrior. No. You are one that is victorious in Christ. So you must lift up your head. Praise the Lord. You encourage yourself also. You know, like Isaiah said in Isaiah 50 and 7, he said, I know that I will come out as a winner because the Lord will help me. Therefore, I will not be confounded. I'm not, you know, and I'm going to set my face like a flint. Well, you know, I'm going to be focused on the victory. I'm not going to look here and there. Focus like the victory. I'm not going to let any distractions, because I know I will not be ashamed. And that's your testimony. And that's the testimony of Isaiah, rather. Can that be your testimony? Well, praise the Lord. Well, that's it. I'm going to leave it there. What I did today was what I promised I would do, kind of a review, but I brought in a few other scriptures and so forth, mixed it up a little bit. You know, the last time we did the More Than Conquerors message, you know, the replay wasn't there exactly. You know, so I promised that I would do it again, and I done it again today. You know, so that's it. We're going to leave it there, and the Lord wants us to always have the victory. There are many more scriptures that we can give, but the Lord, I mean, there's plenty. There's some that we gave before. And I was told that the scriptures were actually remained in the room last time, which I thought they were not there. Well, you know, it was just my voice that was somehow erased. But the scriptures were there. So combining those scriptures that we gave them with today's scriptures, you have a lot in your toolbox already then to have the victory. Praise the Lord. Remember, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. God already promised that, Exodus 33. He promised that no matter what you are going through, he said, look, I'm going to give you the victory. I will go with you. Praise the Lord, and I will give you rest. And even Moses said, well, if you don't go with us at all, then don't even take me anywhere. Let me stay put. But the Lord said, no, I will go with you, and I will give you rest. And remember, Deuteronomy 31 and verse 8, it is the Lord thy God that doth go with you, and he will give you the victory. He will never fail you, and, you know, he will never forsake you. And but you must be rugged. You know, must be rugged to win. When you're knocked down, don't stay down. Get up again. That's what Paul told Timothy. He said, look, you know, you've got to endure hardness. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. You've got to endure hardness as a good soldier of Christ. You know, you must know how to not only dish out a punch, but you should also know how to take a punch too. You know, endure hardness, ruggedness. You got to be rugged. You got to be strong in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 16 and 13. Quit ye like men. Stop being a pushover for the devil. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his mind. Stand fast in the faith. And if you have to be the last man standing, so be it. You know, you go into the battle and you come out and you're a winner. Every time you win this one and you win the next one, praise the name of the Lord. I'm going to pray over the room and I'm going to leave it there. Many, many things that, you know, we can encourage ourselves with. Some are things that I said before. Some I added again today. Also remember, you know, the scriptures about putting on strength. Jeremiah 12 and 5 talks about putting on strength. Don't faint in the day of adversity. Same thing as Proverbs 24 and 10. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is little. If you run against footmen and you are weary, then how are you going to contend against horses? That's Jeremiah 12 and 5. You know, put on the full armor of God to now for you to be a conqueror. Ephesians 6 verses 10 to 18. Many of these verses, I can go on and on, but I want to cut it right here. All is enough here to encourage you every day for as a winner. and you put on the full armor of God, then having done all, you stand. Don't lay down on the canvas. You stand. Hallelujah. You take a punch on the chin, then you stand still. Praise God. And if you know how to use the shield of faith, you can even quench all the things that the devil will throw out against you. Praise God. So, Father, I thank you for today's lesson. I thank you for the word. And I thank you for your people. I know we have the victory in Christ. And no matter what the enemy throws around among us, I mean, at us, by praising the Lord, we will win. Amen. Amen and amen. Jehoshaphat knew that by praising the Lord, he got the victory. So, Lord, teach us the praises, the high praises of God. Psalm 149. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth. And then a sharp two-edged sword in their hand. Put the enemy in its place. Teach us, Lord, the praises of the Lord. And teach us, O Lord, all these things we've read in the scriptures today and even the other day to strengthen ourselves for every battle. And I say every battle of the warrior is with confused nerves and garments rolled with blood. But this one shall be with burning fuel. The Lord will give you the victory. You come out on top always in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. We give you, Lord, the praise and glory. And there are many promises for those that overcome and for the winners that will not back down and will not stay down. The Lord promises us many, many things. Finally, he said, he that overcometh shall sit with me in my throne, even as I overcame and I'm set with my Father in his throne. Hallelujah. Revelation 3:21 and also Revelation 21:7, you know, he said, he that overcometh shall inherit all things. Hallelujah. But you got to be an overcomer. You got to be a winner. Now, are you a winner? And are you an overcomer? May the Lord give us, grant us the grace to be more than conquerors, to be an overcomer and to be a winner. And I will be his God and he shall be my son. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.